Colic is something we hope you never experience as a parent, but in case you're there or you're just preparing for the possibility, today on the podcast, I interview pediatric naturopathic doctor, Dr. Ilana Rumel, to discuss the top five causes of infant colic and what we can do about it. She leads us from head to stomach, discussing some of the common causes that may contribute to the incessant crying that comes alongside a colic diagnosis, between nervous system regulation and head trauma, to the tongue, microbiome, and other digestive factors and more. I think you'll learn a lot from this episode, and I know that we can all benefit from her sixth bonus tip, so let's hear it.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Water alone is not enough. True hydration needs minerals, and kids need them too. That's why we love the kids' line of Redmond Relight powders, and so do our children. It's a clean, USA-made, lower-sodium electrolyte powder made just for little ones, with essential minerals and fun flavors like grape, pineapple, and pink lemonade. It's perfect for play, growth, and recovery for those athletic kids you have. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off. And use the code to enjoy the other Redmond products too, like their natural toothpaste, seasoning salts, bentonite clays for baths, and more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off, because kids deserve high-quality hydration too. All right, moms, seriously stop and listen, because this is something you need to have in your diaper bag, at your house, in the car, or basically anywhere that you spend time with your kids. Active Skin Repair is the best natural skin healing product that I have ever found. It's a skin health company that makes non-toxic medical-grade sprays and gels to support skin healing by using something called hypochlorous acid, which mimics the natural healing response of the body that the body uses itself. It's very intelligent. It's an absolute game changer for a huge variety of skin ailments, including burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, rashes, stings, eczema, acne, and more. You know I love a product that works with our physiology, and this is definitely that. I use it on my baby, my dog, my acne-prone skin. It is such a smart product, and I think that you will love it. So head to activeskinrepair.com or the link in the show notes and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off of your order. So again, use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off, and I think you're going to love it. Okay, so today on the show, we have my friend and colleague and mentor and old boss and so many different titles and ways that we've connected over the years. But Dr. Ilana Rumel, thank you so much for being here.
Morgan, I'm so happy to be here. You guys are so special. You and Leah both. I just love you guys. I'm so happy we're not just like student preceptor anymore. We're just good friends. We're colleagues. And I love that you guys are full on in on this podcast. This makes me so happy. I get to be a guest on your podcast now.
Yeah. Well, your podcast is the reason why we started this, I think, is because we just saw the inspiration and all of this information about how to find more about you. Dr. Ilana will be in the show notes. And I highly recommend, if you guys have not heard of Dr. Ilana Rumel and you have little kids, or even if you don't and you want to have an amazing free resource with the podcast, and then also looking into your incredible membership option, which I'm going to talk about here in just a second, there's just so much that people can learn from you. And a real quick story is that you came to our school, Bastyr in San Diego, for like a lunch presentation one time. And Leah and I were both just like obsessed with you. And we all just sat in the room after the talk was over and just chatted and became like instant best friends. And it was sort of like faded from then. And then now you live in Idaho, which is so cool to me.
I love it. Well, you planted good seeds, Morgan, yeah. And we're so happy to be here. But yeah, that was at least like 15 years ago or at least 13 years ago. I mean, yeah, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. It was like in 2000, what are we? It was probably 12 years ago. It's like 2013.
Yeah. So yeah. And for listeners who don't know, you had a shaved head at that time, yeah, which was an instant bond, because I actually shaved my head like when I was like in my early 20s. So you just looked beautiful and I loved it. So yeah, we all bonded really quickly.
Oh my gosh. And I love the idea of you with the shaved head, because your hair is so curly that I bet you had so many fun stages of grow out.
The row was not so fun, but the shaved head was fun.
I was going to say, for me with the straight hair, I just looked like, I don't know, there was a couple of iffy moments there, but I loved overall the whole process, and I will do it again at some point.
Me too. That's what I say to Anthony. I'm just going to be probably a lot older.
Yes. Same.
Same. Okay, so let me introduce you, though, for those that have not heard of you. And we are going to talk about colic today because it is something that can be such a lonely journey for parents who are experiencing it. And there's sometimes not that much information, or maybe it's not that helpful. And I think one thing that is really amazing about our profession is getting down to the root cause of illnesses and issues. And so there are probably other things that can cause colic, but we're going to talk about some of the main ones and a couple of little, you know, tips and tricks and things to think about when you're exploring this with your child. But let me explain who you are, because everybody needs to know. So Dr. Ilana Rumel is a pediatric naturopathic doctor and soon to be mom of four and creator of the Med School for Moms program. Known as Dr. Mom in her community, Dr. Ilana has dedicated her career to helping over 5,000 moms step into the same role, teaching them how to feel confident, competent, calm, and when caring for their children's health. Her Dr. Mom membership, with over 2,000 members, oh my gosh, congratulations, offers tools and support to help parents make empowered healthcare decisions. As co-host of the Dr. Mom podcast, approaching 2 million downloads, Dr. Ilana shares expert advice and practical tips. So learn more at www.medschoolformoms.com and follow her on Instagram at Dr. Ilana Rumel. So again, all of that will be in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And that's where I was like working with you, was on your membership and stuff. So because I just had to follow that up with mentioning old boss, you know, working with you in that membership was so inspiring for me because you had a couple of kids and, or maybe you were just about to have a I forget when you started it, but it was so cool to see somebody so very much in the direction that I wanted to be in, which was like starting something for myself and online and working and helping people, but also being able to be a mom and have children. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a hard balance, and you do it really well. So good job for you.
Oh, thanks. I loved having you on the team, Morgan. And I remember when we had a part, you were like, it's time for me to go see patients. And I was like, do it. It's time. You could do this, you know? But secretly, really, you're so wonderful as part of it. And I'm so blessed. I feel like, yes, I found like the right alignment with my career and how I can help people, but still be a mom, because that's really my priority. But it's so relatable because I'm a mom, so I get to help moms. It's just like the best job ever. We're so lucky.
Yeah, I love it. I love watching what you're doing, and I think it's so amazing. So the Dr. Mom membership, just so that anybody knows, is a huge collective resource that's constantly always updating and changing with all of your naturopathic protocols for various illnesses right. and conditions that can come up with for kids. And there's a supportive, you know, community aspect where you get to ask questions and learn from other moms and other families. There's so much to it now, and it's just such a cool thing. There's nothing like it else out there. And it's just become such a big, amazing, comprehensive, like beast online of information. So if you're looking for something like that, you know, you have little kids or you're about to have a kid and you're very worried about some of the illness stuff and you don't really know that much, or you want to learn more and you're wanting to do it in a natural or integrative lens, that is, you're the perfect person then for that type of looking into the offering of the membership.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I love it. My whole mission is just to empower moms. That's why I quote unquote call them Dr. Moms. I want them to feel like they can trust themselves. They have the intuition, they have the resources and community support so they can really make educated, confident decisions with their kids' health, you know, medical decisions, from vaccines to a cold, a runny nose, a cough, mold toxicity, right? Like, we cover so much. So I wanted to give them access. And I feel like all moms deserve this access. They shouldn't have to pay $500 to go see a doctor. They could pay $30 and get access to all of this. So I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So today, can you, you know, let's start talking about colic. Let's probably just start with the definition, because I think sometimes it can be thrown around a little loosely. They're like, oh, I have, my baby has colic because they spit up, or my baby has colic because they fuss. And it's like, well, let's talk about the actual definition. And of course, you know, if your baby doesn't fit in the exact parameter, it doesn't mean that they're not edging towards something, or that these possible root causes aren't going to be applicable to your child. They certainly could be. So, but just so that we can get really clear about what we're talking about, can you tell us about what colic is?
Perfect. So first of all, if your child's already been diagnosed, if you have a kid, we are just going to set the tone here and just give you this like big hug, because it is hard. It is a lot of crying. It's a lot of discomfort. It is a lot of like making yourself wrong, like questioning, what are you doing? And it's actually 20 to 40% of kiddos can have this diagnosis. It's that high. Wow. It happens to be more high in formula fed babies. It's not to say it doesn't happen in breastfed babies. The good thing is I'm going to give you five different causes of like what could be going on and actionable tools. We have seen colic all day and night in our practices, but we see it, they get better. So there is hope. And I just wanted to kind of like set the tone for that. But for a quick definition, in order for an infant to warrant the diagnosis, they first of all need to be like a healthy, wet-fed, weighted baby. Like if your child's already underweight or having other kind of chronic conditions, colic isn't even going to be part of their diagnosis because there's other things going on. Colic is kind of like a diagnosis when they warrant certain standards, and I'll explain what those are, but they're like, doctors oftentimes just like don't know what's going on. They've ruled out everything else, and they're just like, you're going to get through it. They're going to just outgrow it. Give it to 3 to 4 months, and they're just going to turn a corner. But 3 to 4 months, that's like so many hours and so many nights. Like you can't just like tell me that. So there are things we can do. But to warrant a diagnosis is essentially a healthy baby who cries for more than 3 hours a day, 3 or more days a week for more than 3 weeks. Okay. So you can imagine like that is so much crying. And it's usually around a predictable time. It's usually around like the witching hours. Okay. So as you get near the nighttime. Now the peak is incidence usually occurs between 2 to 6 weeks of age. And again, it resolves around 3 to 4 months. Okay. But again, this can affect 10 to 40% of children. So if your child's experiencing this, or if you're pregnant and you're like trying to get prepared for this, just know this can happen to a lot of infants, but there are a lot of different things. And we're going to go from head to toe as far as like what could be going on that you could just start having like an awareness. Oh, maybe we should look into this. Oh, maybe we should see this practitioner. Oh, maybe we should try this just to get curious and aware of it. Okay. So you could let me know when you want me to go through this.
Yeah, that is, so it's like the 3-3-3, 3 hours, 3 times mm-hmm. a week for 3 weeks. And it's something to be said too. I think that listening to your baby cry and feeling helpless, like you have no idea what's going on, even if you do know what's going on, listening to a baby cry, like, okay, all of my babies cry in the car seat and yeah. It is literally hell on earth. Like I would trade so many things to not experience that ever again, because our biology is primed to help them and to love on them and for them not to be in a state of suffering. And so especially mm-hmm. I think when colic strikes a family and it's their first baby, it can just, I mean, any baby really, but when it's your first baby, there's a whole level of like, just everything's new and the learning curve is so steep and you are just trying to figure everything out. And it can all feel like each moment goes by so much slower, at least to me, when I'm learning something new or I've done something for the very first time, because you're so present in all of it, it all just lasts so much longer. So 3 to 4 months
too long.
Of that is so crazy. And I felt a similar way when I got the laryngeal malacia diagnosis of my fourth, because people were like, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And mm-hmm. typically at like 3 or 4 months, similarly, you'll see a huge improvement. And I was sitting there at like, maybe, I don't know, she was like 3 or 4 weeks old, just going, wait a minute, I have like 8 more weeks, potentially 12 more weeks of this? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I can't survive. It was just, but at some point also now looking back, it felt like a blip of the eye. I almost don't even remember it. And so I think one of my pieces of advice that I've strung along many podcast episodes right now, or through the last season, that I want to just say again to the moms listening to this, is everything is temporary. And at some point during the really hard times, this is probably not that healthy. The therapists are going to be like, don't say that. Yeah. My main coping mechanism is to just remind myself that there will be a time where I'm on the other side of this and I probably won't even remember. I won't like remember the intensity that I feel right now. I'm not going to carry this level of irritation or desperation or hopelessness or whatever it is. Like I won't feel this. I will get back to this at some point and I'll look and I'll be like, that really sucked. But like you will be in a new time period in your life and it will be over. So I just, yeah, like I like that you were giving the hope too and the hugs and stuff, because it's just anything to do with our little babies, especially if there isn't an explanation, can not mm-hmm. only be crazy making, but it really grates on our nervous system in such a different way. And you're already up against maybe not sleeping well and the new postpartum hormone shifts and all sorts of stuff. So we just like really, really see you. And it, like you're not alone, even though it feels very, very, very lonely. And even though there's nothing, like sometimes it doesn't feel like there's not much you can do, we are going to offer some things today that you can do. So let's look at like kind of just chug through it. Like reason number one and
perfect.
Yeah. Tell us.
Great. And I agree with everything you just said. It's seasons. I always go back, seasons of motherhood. First trimester was so tough. And then you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And you're like, it was tough. So it's like, it all just passes. Okay, so I said head to toe, but it's really like head to belly. But I'm going to go move from that direction as far as causes. I like to think of it like that. So head. During the birthing experience, during pregnancy, there could be a lot of head trauma. Okay. And a lot of the reason why infants cry is discomfort, feeling like they're overwhelmed, their nervous system is dysregulated. They're just trying to figure it out. And oftentimes one of the things that can feel discomfort is head asymmetry or head trauma simply from various things, nothing that the mom necessarily did. Their head could have just been bouncing on the pelvic, the pelvis for months on end. During birth, it could have been a vacuum evacuated. Like, there's so many different reasons why there could be head trauma. If you can see head asymmetry, or if you can't, I still think going to see a chiropractor or doing some gentle kind of cranial sacral work could make all the difference. And again, sometimes from our mom's eye, we can't necessarily see it. We think our kids are like the most perfect, beautiful, precious, but like they just may have this like pain or discomfort or pressure that we don't know about. And like a trained practitioner in pediatrics can just put their hands on them, and it doesn't even need that many visits. Just get them evaluated to see, could there be discomfort from that? And can they kind of help progress that healing? So that's number one is head. Okay. The next thing is,
Really quick.
Do you agree with that? Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, if your baby was like posterior and their bridge of their nose or something like that was up against your pubic bone, and you know, so for me particularly, all of our babies have benefited from craniosacral therapy so much because of their mouth malformations and problems with breastfeeding, tongue lip ties, etc. But I think almost, I mean, I can't imagine a single contraindication for a baby with craniosacral therapy. I wish all babies were able to get it when they first come out. Because like you said, even in the totally normal physiological birth where the head does its normal molding and it's coming out of the vaginal canal and it wasn't asynclitic and everything was lined up perfectly, it's just a lot going on in there. And craniosacral therapy and chiropractic can benefit the entire nervous system and not, you know, only just necessarily the head. But I think it's just something, it's getting more traction and more growth. But sometimes people, when you're watching a practitioner do craniosacral therapy, you're like, what are they doing? But I promise you, it is amazing.
I agree.
So yeah, definitely that is always my first thing. I'm glad that you started with that one, because whenever I hear that somebody's struggling with colic, I'm like, go see a craniosacral therapist.
Just go.
Because
it can help with so many things.
So many
I agree.
Things.
Yes.
So many things.
I agree completely. In fact, to the point where like as practitioners, you've probably thought this, but like I've always like wanted to be trained. Like I want to be able to do this with my babies. I was like, well, I only have so much hours of the day. How can I do this? But I value that so much in that newborn stage that even without symptoms, I go because I feel like it's a great prevention for what may come. So if we know it may peak between 2 to 6 weeks of age, that baby's already in someone's hands doing body work so that maybe we could try to avoid it. And I know you and me have both been blessed that we have not had personal experience with colicky babies, but because we've seen so many moms with colicky babies that we've treated them, it's just, we just are trying to be as proactive. And I do think that that makes a difference. Okay. The next one. So let's go move from the head down to the mouth. So tongue ties have been there's just been more and more publicity around it. We have more exposure. We know more about it, which I think is fantastic. Whether your child has a tongue tie that is inhibiting them from eating enough food, or they're not getting a good enough latch. So now that there's air going in and now they're having discomfort from just excess air, gas, bloating, all of that, I think, could play a role in contributing to colic. And again, I think that we're getting on top of it a lot earlier than we ever have been. I think more and more kids are being diagnosed, but I think just continuing to assess it, even if you're a hospital, you did a hospital birth, an IBCLC comes in, does a little revision, you think you're in the clear, that's not necessarily true. Keep on following it. If you've never even gotten your child assessed, I highly recommend finding a trained IBCLC lactation consultant and or pediatric dentist who focuses on airway and tongue. And I think just looking at that is going to be huge in your whole journey of trying to understand what's going on with colic, breastfeeding, all of that. So that I would just put as one of like our key things to underlying root cause of what could be contributing to colic.
Yep, I fully agree. Huge. I think that's a gigantic one for nowadays. Unfortunately, yeah. It's like the tongue and lip tie rates are just out of this world. And hopefully one day we'll figure out what's going on. But the fact of the matter is that it's happening. It's happening. It's not normal. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. And so we need to be, you know, considering this in the way that it's affecting our babies and their poor little mouths and their latch.
That's right. And unfortunately, I think assessments are not standardized. So you may get one IBCLC saying, oh no, it's fine. Maybe there's a posterior, maybe there's an anterior. Just keep on getting assessed if your gut feeling is like, no, something may be going on. More times than not, they are tied. Some need the revision, some don't. But it's just important that you've got good providers that are supporting you, because it's only going to probably get worse as they peak to 3 to 4 months, because then their milk intake needs to go up and all that good stuff. So just rule that out if your child has colic, okay? Okay, number three, let's go to the belly. So the belly has multiple things going on. So one possible thing is that formula, if your child is formula fed, could be a culprit. And we know that formula fed babies have higher rates of colic, and more times than not, they're just not digesting that formula. So if your child's on formula and you want to try a different one, my recommendation, I'd like to go to goat formulas. They tend to be better tolerated, easier to digest. I just think changing it up and doing a trial and seeing if it decreases the intensity of the crying, shortens the duration, could alone be all you need. So this is again for formula fed babies, but please keep that in mind. I think that that's just like the number one thing to think about. Okay.
Really quick. Do you have any of your favorite formulas that you can?
My favorite one is Holly from Europe. It's their goat infant formula. And the reason why I don't suggest a lot of American formulas, which I wish I did, but there's actually guidelines from the FDA that make it so they have to add folic acid. Not yet have we gotten to changing that over to folate. If a company were to put folate in their American baby formula, they would not get the privilege of being able to sell it and market it. It's really just unfortunate. We interviewed Caprita as one of our just podcast, many podcasts. We have hundreds of podcasts, but that's when I learned that. And it was just so frustrating, because even a great reputable brand like Caprita wants to put the right forms and bioavailable forms, but they're up against a lot of regulations. So this is where like European brands, they don't have those regulations. They've got more freedom. So I tend to like to recommend them, but it can also be a hassle. You can't find that over the counter. You need to order that. Sometimes you need something like, you know, quickly, and you want to be able to just go to a store. So there's pros and cons, but that's my favorite right now today as we record is the Holly infant goat formula.
Okay, Holly goat. Thank you. It's no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. We need protein for all major body functions, including hormone production, to maintain a healthy, regular menstrual cycle. The requirements for protein only increase when we become pregnant, are nursing, and recovering postpartum. There are many options on the market for protein and collagen powders out there, and we understand that it can be tricky to vet all of the various brands and types. So let me make it easy for you. The Needed Collagen Powder is my top recommendation for an easy to mix, quick dissolving, and completely tasteless supplemental protein for many reasons. It's grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and has 14 grams of protein per scoop. It passes rigorous third-party testing for heavy metals contamination, and the company keeps this information transparent for the public. I mix mine into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies almost every day. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Again, head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save.
You're welcome. Okay, so another thing as far as the belly goes is when microbiome is disrupted, we could see a lot of also discomfort and a lot of gas and bloating and whatnot. Now, this could be for many different causes. The child could be a C-section baby, so they're not getting that microbiome from the vagina. Mom may have been given antibiotics during pregnancy, during labor delivery, or even during nursing, or potentially baby was giving antibiotics. This all can disrupt normal flora, right? There's a lot of different reasons why flora could be off. Now, there's a well-studied probiotic called Lactobacillus reuteri, and it's been studied specifically for colic. And there are good studies. Some of them are mixed, but a number of meta-analyses do show that just adding some Lactobacillus reuteri daily can decrease the intensity and the duration of the crying. So it's like something so gentle, so easy, safe. Maybe that's something that you want to consider adding to your child's just daily supplement regimen if you're giving anything at all. But, you know, you may have the antibiotic history, may have the CTI or not, but I don't think it's going to harm them. And I think that with good evidence, I think it can only benefit and not do harm. So I just love to have that as part of my protocol, my toolbox.
Yeah. And there's probably so many other benefits of, you know, if let's just pretend that the reuteri for your child is the thing that brings it down by like 40% or something.
Something.
Amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. And also there's, you know, it just begs the question, well, what exactly is happening in the body that there's this benefit where I'm seeing the less pain? There's probably all these other benefits too. So it's one of those where it's, yeah, the risk of giving a probiotic supplementation would be on the very, very low end, the benefit being high. So do you have a particular brand? People are going to ask, so I'm just going
to say. That's great. Sure, no problem. So one that I like to go to is called BioGaia Protectus. And it's very easy. It's liquid. It's a one drop. It's very simple. The reason why I choose that one, because there's many, is that one is well studied. That one just happens to be, and we see good results with it. So again, BioGaia Protectus is part of my protocol. And I really do think it's well tolerated. You can get one with vitamin D or without. So that's just an option.
Love it.
And then my last one of five, although I have a bonus and I need to throw in this bonus. So I apologize if I'm throwing people off, but there's just so many great causes, is just digestive support in general. So sometimes reflux can happen that can cause this discomfort. Colic and reflux are still separate conditions, although we do see a lot of kiddos with colic who also have reflux. So I think that addressing if there's any reflux going on is going to be powerful. And one of my favorite remedies, and this is part of my protocol inside my membership, and I give all the dosing and everything, is called a homeopathic called NatFos. It happens to be a cell salt, but that gets more complicated. It doesn't matter. It's NatFos. Just remember that. And it's magic. And it can work within like minutes. It could be just like this, like crying, inconsolable child who really does do so well, and it like neutralizes that like acid in the stomach is essentially how it works. But really with homeopathy, it just helps the body heal and find its homeostasis and its balance. Another homeopathic remedy I love having moms have on hand, especially with colic, is chamomilla. Mm-hmm. Chamomilla is indicated for this hypersensitivity to pain and just inconsolable. So you know that cry that lasts these 3 hours, there's nothing you could do. You're driving them around, you're rocking them, you're turning on music, you're shushing them, you're swaddling them, and it's like there's nothing that can console them. Think of the homeopathic chamomilla. So these are like supportive to the body, NatFos, chamomilla. And I think that we should just have them as in our toolbox, as like a quote unquote doctor mom. They're gentle, they're easy, and they're so effective if you just get that right remedy. But I find with colic and or reflux that these are great go-to remedies.
Yeah, I love that. And the NatFos cap, or not capsule, it's like a kind of like a,
it's like a melting tab or something.
Yeah,
like
yes, exactly. Melt away it melts tab. Away, super easy to give to a newborn. And then with the chamomilla, it comes in a liquid ampoule that you can get mm-hmm. from Boron that's called chamomilla. And I'll put all this in the show notes for you guys as well. When your child is older and can actually take the little pellets, then it's called just chamomilla, like chamomile. That's what it's from, like the mm-hmm. little flower, you know, tea. I think that NatFos also is so underrated for pregnant women who are having reflux. So sometimes it's nice that you can just buy it for yourself for your reflux that you're having in your pregnancy and then keep it for your baby and see if, you know, if it potentially would have helped in that kind of a way. Because yeah, you don't really know what it is that's going on. Are they having reflux? Is it just that they are having indigestion? Is it that their nervous system is upset? Is it that they're like really overstimulated? Is it that there's air bubbles that are hurting and pressing and that pressure? You know, it can be so, or maybe it's often probably too, it's 25% this, 40% that, mm-hmm. you know, couple of different things. And so it can, we need to like work on it from multiple angles while also keeping in perspective in mind that this will be gone at some point.
But the beautiful thing is you can go make an appointment with cranial sacral therapy while you're giving NatFos, mm-hmm. L-Lurdi, and like you're doing it, you know, like yep. you may not know what the root cause is, but if we're trying to like address all of them, it's also safe to be able to do. And mm-hmm. again, in the membership, we have dosing based on weight, age, things like that. So it kind of helps moms navigate. But the point is these are really all very gentle therapies. And if you just bring them together and you're just like giving that little baby the support they need, like the dramatic changes is huge, right? Mm-hmm. And with that crying and that, it's hard on everyone in the family. So everyone kind of gets a break. And this is actually where my little bonus one comes in. So if I may just throw one yes. in. I really think it's important that we talk about this. And again, I want to set the tone with no shame, no like guilt, because I've been here. I know Morgan, you've been here before, but when your baby is crying and all we want to do is support them, our anxiety peaks. And as a mom, this is natural. This is something that it's just a testimony to how much we love them. We care about them. We're bonded to them. But what I want to like propose to moms listening is do your very best to shift into calmness, because there are things scientifically known as mirror neurons, and our babies pick up on our moods. So we could be calm and serene, and our babies will feel calm and serene, and we will feel anxious and heightened, and they will feel anxious and heightened. And so, although I'm not saying your anxiety is causing the colic, because that is not the connection, but it is definitely not helping. Mm-hmm. It's not helping them calm. And so some of the things that I use with patients, I know Morgan, we've talked about this, is how can we center ourselves and really regulate our nervous system even amidst the chaos of the crying and the discomfort and the like hours and hours going on. And so here are some tips that I really recommend moms do during this time to just help regulate your nervous system so that hopefully that mirror neuron picks up on the baby. First thing is skin to skin. So I want you to just get the baby naked. If it's too cold, that's fine. Just get them on you and wear them. They want to be on you. They want to be held. They're so used to being in your body, in your belly, cocooned, warm environment. Just get them on you. And then I want you to just go outside and take a walk. We know that going outside, having any sunshine, just fresh air, breathing the fresh air is going to help regulate your nervous system. So that's going to only help you and the baby again regulate. Okay. If you want to do some breath work, great. Breathe in the air. If you want to turn on a podcast or music just to kind of like calm your mind or distract, that's great too. Let the baby cry. Be outside. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Parents all kind of cringe and feel bad when a baby cries. They're all just going to love on you and just hope that things are okay. Just go walk, get out in nature, and all of that stuff just helps calm your nervous system. And then hopefully those mirror neurons will just help regulate your child as well. Maybe you're out there for a whole hour or two just while the crying's happening, but the baby will likely just go to sleep and just get through those hours so much quicker, just to again regulate. And now you've got this time to regulate. So I just don't want to, I don't want to miss that. And I also don't want to have any shame or guilt around your anxiety or you thinking like you're causing this or making it worse. It's not, but you could also make it better just by focusing on yourself and having some kind of mastery over your own nervous system is only going to help. It's not going to harm.
I love that. I'm so glad that you said that. And I think sometimes people will feel like they need to sort of like match their baby in being worked up and sad and anxious, because if they were calm and cool and collected, it would maybe make them feel like they didn't care. They were, I don't know, distant or sociopathic or something like that. And it's like, no. You are the parent now. And this is kind of an analogy for all of life as a parent, that we need to be the sort of like cool, calm, collected leader. And they get to have their chaos. Now, obviously, with a newborn, if once we've ruled out anything that we can that is contributing to the pain, you know, things like hair tourniquets, or they're not hungry, they're not cold, this is just they're colicking. They're doing their colic thing. Mm-hmm. It's on their predicted sort of schedule that they tend to get in. I find that, yeah, a lot of moms will sort of have their pattern of what they have to do. Usually, again, like you said, in the evenings, although it can happen at any time, where it's just for a period of several weeks, this is what they do. And I love that. It's like bundle them up, get them skin to skin. I mean, obviously weather permitting, and go on a walk and put some headphones in and don't listen to it anymore. Like it's not going to change anything. You have done the most that you possibly can. And at some point we have to put our own mask on first. And it's like, you're going to be looking down at them. You're seeing that they're breathing. They're fine. You're shushing them. You're doing the best you can. But yes, if you can get yourself into this like headspace of a different kind of vibration and your breathing is slower, they will at least that will be an option for their nervous system to pick up on if it can. And I was told this by one of the professors at my medical school, because I had my son, my first, is when I was a third year, and I had a really, really hard, sad postpartum with him. I was just in so many breastfeeding problems and breastfeeding pain. And I remember her looking at me, he was probably like 7 months, and she's like, so she would do craniosacral. She was a chiropractor, and his diaphragm was always locked up, and she always had to like kind of work on it, work on his rib area and get him to like be taking these long, slower breaths. And then she would do it on me and she'd be like, well, look at that. Like yours is too. And she's like, you are literally not breathing. And obviously I was alive, but I was so stressed, hypersympathetic nervous system overdrive, like very, very anxious. And she prescribed me to just do some, you know, very basic diaphragmatic breathing things, because she was like, if you don't do it for you and your sake, do it for him and his sake, because he is watching you and he's learning from you. And it's not something that he's doing consciously. It's just his nervous system. And so he will attune to whatever you are feeling. Very true of obviously once we're, when we were pregnant and they're in our bodies, but then still once they're out. And so I'm so glad that you said that, because at the end of the day, like, if you can't do much else about it, then we have to just focus on our joy. And that was a revelation for me this fourth postpartum, in the light of the laryngeal malacia, which is a, it, just so anybody knows, if he doesn't know, if you don't know what it is, it's basically like the, where your little voice box is and your vocal cords, there is an arch of tissue that's supposed to keep it open. And if a baby has what is called laryngeal malacia, the larynx is soft. And so malacia means soft, and it's shaped kind of like an omega, like the Greek letter omega. So every time they inhale, it sort of collapses and it makes this sound, and it, it can interrupt their breathing and their feeding and all sorts of stuff. And so we had a very long run with that. She still makes sounds, and she's, you know, almost a year and a half now at this point. But I learned to really, really focus on my joy every day. Even if it was 15 minutes, I did something that was like a high peak joy thing for myself. And that's when I started reading these like fantasy romantasy books, which I'm obsessed with.
And, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh my God, I love them. They're so much fun. And I, cause I just, I had not read a book for pleasure, like a fiction book. I only was reading books to
medical
learn.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And it's so boring. Yeah. And I just didn't, you know, I stopped liking to read, but I actually do love to read. So, or going on a walk or a bath. Those were sort of my three main things that would recenter me. And so everybody's, it's going to be different for everybody. Some people it's going to be working out. Some people it's going to be a good meal, like whatever, whatever it is. Making and carving out that time so that you can sort of like supersede some of the hard and the struggle with fun things interjected in there, or self-care things, or however you want to verbalize the words, whatever it is that really, it can't just be like a little thing. Well, it can be little, but it can't just bump your joy up a little bit. You need to find something that bumps your joy up a lot in this time period. And again, it's a temporary. It's temporary that we're having to like put so much focus on this. But getting through in a positive mental health state, or at least as well as you can, is so very vital for the entire family. So talking with this about your part, or with your partner and anybody else in the family who would be of relevant inclusion there, to be like, yo, mother's nervous system is literally the nervous system of the entire household. And this is wearing on me in this like type of this way. And I need the support in this, in, you know, however for you it is supportive. And also not shying away from the idea of tapping into your community again, the way that maybe you did postpartum, to say like, hey, we're having a super hard time over here. Like, can I maybe start up a meal train again? And if you're feeling like you want to give me your leftovers, like please, or whatever it is. But you know what I mean? I feel like sometimes we just, we only will prioritize support for ourselves in times where it's like culturally, socially acceptable. And it's like, it's dumb. Like, come on, let's, people want to help. So accept it, you know?
I agree. And definitely with a colicky baby, when you're on month one or two, you know what to expect, and you start getting anxious just anticipating that that time is coming. Cause you're like, all right, here's the 3 hours. It's going to start. Okay. I've got one more hour of peace, and you need to like have support. It may be where your partner's just taking the lead on this day. Then you're taking the lead, and maybe you're hiring someone, or you're asking a friend just to help. So you could just take like an hour with the earplugs in. You're not wrong for doing that. You're taking care of yourself, which is only a good role model. Like you said, I do also want to mention, because I think the mental emotional part is so huge for us moms. I mean, we're learning this in every stage. You know, you have now, is Gage 10 or 11?
He's 9, but yeah.
Oh my God, he's 9. So he's almost 10. My eldest is 8. Like, we're learning this throughout all stages. So whether you have an infant or older kids, I think that when dis-ease or discomfort or something gets thrown off, as a mom, you just want like a plan. You just like to know that there's like a solution. And oftentimes that alone can kind of calm you. And I think with colic, what's so hard is there's not a lot of solutions, and they're just, you're being told just to wait it out. But now I hope after this podcast, you see that there are things you could do. But I encourage you to talk to your baby about it. They may not understand like our 8 or our 10-year-old or whatnot, but like that always calms me down, is to just say like, hey, baby, like, I get you're uncomfortable. Like, I have ideas and I'm really trying. We're going to go visit this doctor. I've got this homeopathic stuff. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'm going to try. Like, you could even just be like so so real and so authentic. Like, I don't like that you're uncomfortable. I'm so sorry you're uncomfortable. I hear that you're uncomfortable. And I want this to stop because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I'm so sorry you're uncomfortable. I'm working on it. I'm learning. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, thank you for giving me these signs. Like, just like, be with them and create this like dialogue, because even though, yes, they may not logically really understand every word, it will help you. And they really do. They see your love and they hear it and they feel it and all of that good stuff. And just let them know you're working it out and you're really trying. And I just find that to always help, whether you're dealing with like a meltdown, you're dealing with like a disease, like whatever that is, just be transparent with your kids. You don't, yes, you want to be calm and collective, but like, it's okay to cry with them. It's okay to show them that you're vulnerable and that you're trying. And I think that only just gives us permission to just like release that. So you're not like just trying to be so strong and tough always, because that's not always so authentic either. Yes. So that's just like a little tidbit of just like advice to help you get through that time, and your baby will hear you and connect.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's a lot of research too that they come out knowing a lot of language stuff. So they're, especially, let's just pretend you have like a 10, 11 week old and they're still dealing with this. They may really understand so much more, and it might not, it's not gonna like maybe make the colic stop, but they will feel maybe understood and heard in that kind of a way. And
yeah.
I think you're right. It just sort of also sets the tone that we're parenting with our kids, not like at them, you know, we're here along the journey with them. We're not perfect. We're not going to try to act like we're perfect. We are just like loving leaders that are trying to figure it out. And poor first kids have a lot of that sort of trial and error as we are figuring it all out.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, this was so fun. I hope that this helps your audience, you know, and anyone with a baby or maybe just pregnant listening, being super proactive, that you see there's tangible tools. And that's what I love about sharing protocols. Like when I say protocols, it's just like a list of tools. Like it's things you could do from home, like lifestyle stuff or natural medicines or what we can just do, just have a plan. Cause it really does help just like get rid of that anxiety and help you feel empowered as a quote unquote doctor mom. And I just want to leave your listeners knowing like, you are so wise. Like you have so much in you to be able to be your child's number one health advocate and just keep on being their advocate. Don't ever give up. You know them so well. You have so much intuition in you and knowledge. Just get your resources, get that community. And like, you've got this. You're doing such a great job.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. Thank you so much, Ilana. This, I hope that this really, really helps and that everybody goes and checks out your stuff, because it's mind-blowing. It's amazing. And there's just really nothing like it. And it can be something that is so supportive, especially for the, you know, early first time you're just learning all this, or like when you have many, many kids and you're like, what is going on all at the same time? I mean, it's beneficial for a lot of different phases. So I love that you're saying that about, you know, your baby best too. And maybe if you don't feel like that, it's coming. Maybe it's just a little bit early right now and you're feeling kind of uprooted, and especially uprooted by all this colic stuff. But you know, you will learn that type of cry of, okay, this is just like this colic thing, or this is something new and emergent, or this is just a like, or this is the hungry cry, or this is the overly tired cry. You know, you really do learn all of that stuff about your baby. So just keep at it. You got it. We're here for you. And, you know, thank you again for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
Kids get sick. It's natural and normal. And there are things we can do to support their immune systems naturally that help not only with symptoms, but the progression of the illness. I've made a course that highlights all of my top immune support remedies and home care methods to support your children, from newborns all the way through to big kids. I discuss herbs, homeopathics, nutraceutical supplements, targeted nutrients, using nature as medicine, hydrotherapy practices at home, and more. The Winter is Coming webinar is a natural cold and flu course for kiddos that you'll want to revisit again and again. Find the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.